Welcome to Global River Church's Teaching of the Week. We hope you enjoyed today's message. For more information about this podcast and additional resources, please visit globalriver.org.
Well, let's stand and let's welcome our leaders and our family members from Costa Rica. Praise the Lord.
Well, good morning. We're happy to be here this morning. We're happy to see you. Happy to be home, our other home, Wilmington, North Carolina. We've been in Costa Rica 20 years. Just for the few of you that don't know, God sent us out 20 years ago, and we sold everything and moved to Costa Rica and started life there, serving Him full time. And it's been a journey, and it's been awesome and wonderful and hard and all of the things that you can imagine. We started in orphanages and trash dump and did a lot of street ministry, and then God called us to do a bilingual church plant in a little town called Uvita, Costa Rica, which is a little grape. And we were like, are you kidding? It was such a small place. And we thought, no, we're going to go to the city and we're going to do great things. And God says, no, you're going out to the campesino. You're going to the farmland and you're going to start a church there. And we said, well, all right then. And that's what we did. And probably about 14 years ago, we started meeting in homes and in anywhere we could. And then over time, God gave us a property on the main road. And we opened the church in 2021. And we're debt-free. And only God, by His hand and by His grace, and God has been growing the church. And it's been a wonderful time, and this past year, it's been kind of a transition. Peyton experienced some health things, and it's been a tough season. But in the midst of that, the church is growing, and things are just booming. And I said to the Lord, why do you want us to start new ministries in this season of transition? I'm thinking of what else I can get off my plate. And the Lord said, because it's not you doing it. I'm going to do this, and you're going to be faithful if you trust me and be still and know that I am God.
Amen.
And we started a pregnancy, a prenatal center, and got that going, and then a prison ministry. And God is just working. And He's extending those tent stakes.
Amen.
And it's not because of us. It's in spite of us. And He's just moving. And I said to Him one day, why at this time would, you know, and the Lord just reminded me of Gideon. When Gideon faced the conflict, and God said, I'm going to take all these out of your army, and I'm going to take this many men away from you, and I'm going to leave you with 300 so that I receive all the glory.
Amen.
God is about getting glory for Himself.
Amen.
It's not about our glory.
That's right.
And in this season, it is only Him.
Yeah.
And we see that and we know that and we give praise to Him for it. And as we get smaller, He gets so much larger in our lives.
Yes, and Lord.
We're so thankful for all that God has allowed us to do and given us the strength to do.
Amen.
For so many years. And we're happy to be here today. And we thank all of you who have supported us.
Yes,
and prayed for
thank
us.
Thank you so much.
Given us great heritage. And to be strong. We have to be strong. If you're here today and you're in a transition, the world is in transition. The world is in chaos. There is so much going on. I just want to encourage you that in times of uncertainty, just hold on.
Yep.
Hold on to Jesus.
Amen.
God never changes.
That's right.
And He is with us and for us. And
Amen.
If God be for us, whom shall stand against
Amen.
Us?
Praise
and so
Lord.
I encourage you today, be strong in the Lord. Be strong in the Lord.
Amen.
He will get you through, and he will even grow you if you will let him in the tough times. Mm-hmm. But God bless you. Peyton's getting nervous.
I'm ready to go, man.
Yeah,
like,
so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I want to thank Pastor Tom again for the opportunity to come and share our hearts with you and to share a word with you. And I've titled this sermon this morning, Different. I have a slide that I brought from Costa Rica. And I want to talk about one of the most powerful truths in the Word of God for believers. I want to talk about the Holy Spirit in us. And I must be crazy walking up in Global River Church one time a year and talking to you about the Holy Spirit. I'm like, Lord, really? But I'm trusting that he's got a purpose for this and that he's going to use it. And I need to warn you, because this word is going to challenge us. It's going to convict us. It's going to hopefully inspire us with its message. So we're going to begin reading this morning in Exodus chapter 33. But before we begin, please join me in a quick word of prayer for this word. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for everyone that you have brought here this morning. God, I pray in the name of your son, Jesus, that you would move powerfully in this place in our hearts. Lord, renew our minds, transform our hearts by the power of your word and your spirit. And Lord, I ask you to make this word alive in each one of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So before we read, we need to understand what was happening. God had delivered his people after 400 years of slavery in Egypt. He had parted the Red Sea. He had drowned the Egyptian army. He had led them in the desert with a pillar of fire by night, a pillar of cloud by day. He provided manna for them to eat in the desert, and he provided water from a rock. He made a covenant with them at Mount Sinai, declaring them to be his treasured possession, his holy nation, a kingdom of priests, meaning a nation that would represent him to the world. And he was preparing them to go and take possession of the promised land. But God had an even greater purpose than delivering them from Egypt and giving them a new home. He wanted to live among them. In Exodus 25, God gave Moses detailed instructions for a tabernacle. It was not just a place of worship. God said in verse 8, he said, "Let them make me a sanctuary that I may dwell among them." Think about that. The creator of all things, the holy and almighty God, wanted his people to arrange their tents around this tabernacle where he would dwell among them, and he would be the center of their identity, of their worship, of their lives. But then something terrible happened. While Moses was on the mountain receiving the law and the plans for this tabernacle to dwell among his people were making a golden calf. As God was preparing a place to dwell among them, they were building an idol to replace him. And God was furious. And 3,000 people lost their lives that day because of their rebellion. But God did not destroy them completely, because Moses interceded for his people. And now I want to begin reading what God said and what happened. We're going to begin in Exodus 33, and we're going to read first verses 1 through 3. And it says this, "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Depart and go up from here, you and the people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt, to the land which I swore to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, saying, to your descendants I will give it. And I will send my angel before you, and I will drive out the Canaanite, the Amorite, the Hittite, and the Perizzite, and the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Go up to a land flowing with milk and honey, for I will not go up in your midst, lest I consume you on the way, for you are a stiff-necked people.'" God says, I'm still sending you, but an angel will lead you because I might destroy you on the way. Imagine this. God says, you can still have the blessing, the land. You can still have the victory, the promises, but without my presence. How many Christians today would be satisfied with that deal? Moses was not. Let's read verses 13 through 16 of this same chapter. It says, "Now therefore I pray, if I have found grace in your sight, show me now your way, that I may know you, and that I may find grace in your sight, and consider that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." Then he said to him, "If your presence does not go with us, do not bring us up from here. For how then will it be known that your people and I have found grace in your sight, except you go with us? So we shall be separate, your people and I, from all the people who are upon the face of the earth." Moses had no desire to follow the call of God to lead the people to the promised land without God, without him. Because even under the old covenant, Moses understood something powerful and important. And he asked one of the greatest questions in all of the Word of God: what will make us different? What will make us distinct, different from all the other people on the face of the earth? And he knew the answer. And it was not the laws or the blessings or even the promised land. What made the people of God radically different from all others on the face of the earth was the presence of God. The presence of God. God did not choose Abraham or Israel because of who they were. He chose them because of who they would become by the presence and the power and the provision of God in their lives. He did not deliver them from Egypt just to take them to the promised land. He delivered them so he could dwell with them, and this is important, and through them he would reveal himself to the world. And here we see Moses was so desperate for the presence of God to be with him. He said, "If you're not going, don't send us. I prefer to live in the desert with you than to live in the promised land without you." Think about that. Now, the good news is that God did what Moses asked, and he went with them. But is that the cry of our hearts this morning? How many of us would say, "Lord, I'm better in the desert with you than in the promised land and the blessings without you"? What if God said, "I'll bless you, I will give you good things, but my presence will not go with you"? Would it make a difference in your life every day? We need to ask ourselves honestly, because Moses understood a couple of things that we need to understand today. When Moses asked the question, "What will make us different?" that Hebrew word was pala, and it means to set apart, to make different, but it also means to make something extraordinary. So Moses understood this, and we need to understand this, not just in here, but in here. Because this was always the plan in the heart of God. First, the presence of God makes ordinary people extraordinary. Radically different. This is the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And where you find people that are passionately seeking Jesus and rooted and growing in Jesus by His Spirit and by His Word, you find people that are being transformed from glory to glory. This is how it works. Moses understood, our Father desires to reveal Himself to the world through His people. This has always been His heart, to dwell among us, to set us apart, to make us different, so extraordinary that the world would see His holiness, His goodness, His wisdom, His grace, His love displayed through His people. In Isaiah, they were called a light to the nations. But many times, instead of being different and revealing God to others, they conform to the world around them. Instead of influencing the nations to worship our God, they allowed the nations to influence them to worship their gods. Instead of being holy, their lives looked the same as the people around them. And when they did that, they had no testimony to the world. Are you with me, church? So what did God do? He wasn't done. He sent Jesus. He sent Jesus, the only one that was perfect, the one that perfectly represented the Father, the one that showed us the way to live as sons and daughters of God, taught His disciples about the Holy Spirit. And in John 14, He said, "It's good that I'm leaving you, because when I'm gone, I'm going to send another." Amen. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Yes. To be with you. And they're like, who is this that you're talking about will come? Jesus said, you know Him. You know Him already because He's with you. But in the future when I'm gone, He will be in you. Imagine being one of those guys that heard that the first time. What? There's another one going to be in me. And Jesus said, it will be different then because He'll never leave you. He will abide with you forever. Now, before we put this all together, let's go to John chapter 7. Gospel of John chapter 7. We're in the process of giving you the big picture on this. But we are going to laser focus this thing right down on every single heart in the house. That's where we're going. John chapter 7, we're going to read verses 37 through 39. It says, on the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. But this he spoke concerning the Spirit, whom those believing in him would receive, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. The Jews were celebrating the Feast of Tabernacles, where they lived in tents remembering the Exodus and their travels in the deserts and God in the desert and God's provision in the desert. And during this festival, the priest poured water on the altar to remember when he provided water from a rock in the desert. And Jesus interrupts this ceremony. He stands up and in a loud voice it says, he declares, "I am the one that will satisfy the thirst of your soul. I'm that rock. And if you believe in me, as was prophesied in the Old Testament, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water." And Jesus extends this invitation to all who would truly believe in him. And verse 39 tells us exactly what it is. It is the Holy Spirit that every true believer would receive. And we know in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit was poured out on those first 120 believers. The word says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and the church was born. The people that would fulfill that desire in the heart of God for a people where his presence would dwell and through whom God would reveal himself to the world. A people made extraordinary, radically different by his Holy Spirit. And here is how we know God is sovereign and God is in control. Check this out. Moses comes down from Mount Sinai with the law written on tablets of stone to a people who got tired of waiting and built an idol, and 3,000 people lost their lives. On the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit came down, wrote the law on their hearts, and 3,000 people got saved that day. New life. God was doing something new, and at the end, we're going to return to what Jesus said here, but first we need one more piece to the puzzle, and you know this, but we're going there anyway. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, I know everybody here can quote that, but I'm going to read it anyway. Acts 1:8, Jesus said, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Jesus said, don't go without me. You need to know what Moses, understand what Moses understood. Don't you go without me, because you'll receive power. You wait until the promise and you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Why do we need power? Because you are going to be my witnesses to the world. And if your mind automatically goes to evangelism, to sharing your faith, it's okay, it's normal. But we need to understand that it is so much bigger than that. Jesus said, you will need power to be my witnesses, to represent me. But many of us hear the words, power of the Holy Spirit, and we automatically think of ministering to others. We think of prophecy and miracles and signs and people being healed and delivered, and it's all true, and we believe God still does those things today. But listen, the greatest work of the Holy Spirit is not something that he does outside of us. It is something that he does inside of us. That's something we need to remember. We never stop. He never stops working in here. This is more important. The first and greatest purpose of his power in us as believers is the power to overcome sin and live a life of holiness. We're going to go to 2 Peter chapter 1. But before we read there, Yes, 2 Peter chapter 1. But before we read there, listen, when Jesus said you'll receive power, the Greek word for the power is dunamis, okay? And it's where we get the word dynamite. Yeah. The Holy Spirit gives us dynamite power to win our battles with sin, to live a life of obedience, a life that pleases Him, not perfectly, but passionately. Not perfectly, but passionately. And it matters. In Matthew 5, Jesus said, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will of my Father in heaven." John 14 and 15, He said, "If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. He who loves me will keep my word." John 8, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples." Luke 6, "Why do you call me Lord and do not do what I say?" True disciples are those that passionately seek holiness. Jesus said you need power to be my witnesses. In a courtroom, a witness gives evidence for the case. And a witness for Jesus Christ gives evidence of the grace of God in their lives, of their salvation, by a life of obedience, a passion for holiness. If your character and your conduct is not being transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, if your life is no different than the world, if you use the same ugly words they use and do the same things they do, you cannot be a witness for Jesus. You can't. You have no testimony. Perhaps you're thinking, okay, Pastor, but where's the grace, man? I mean, where's the grace? Grace is that you are no longer a slave to sin. Grace is the gift of the Holy Spirit and His dynamite power to live victoriously over sin. Grace is the new desire that He puts in you by the Spirit to passionately pursue holiness. And yes, grace is the promise of forgiveness when you fail and truly repent from the heart. And you'll fail a lot. I do. Paul said, "I'm the chief of sinners." Well, he's got nothing on me. I'm the chief of sinners. You're the chief of sinners because you know all those sins that none of us see. I know all mine. In Spanish, that's the jefe. I'm the jefe del pecado. But grace is not a license to live like the world. Grace is not a license to be like the world. In here, grace is the will and the power to be different and to live radically different from the world. Remember, two paths. The majority went on the wrong one. The few go on the right one. And when you do that, this is where it ties together. When you do that, you will have a testimony that exalts Jesus. And what did Jesus say? "You lift me up, I will draw all men to my..." Yeah, lift Him up on the cross. But when we exalt Him in our life, He draws people to Himself. My question for you is, are you a repellent for Jesus? Or are you drawing people to Jesus? Are people repelled by your testimony? Or is a fire lit in them by your testimony? I told you it was going to convict you. I'm preaching to myself. There's a 7-year-old girl in our church. Her name is Quinn. She's from Canada. She moved here during COVID, moved to Costa Rica during COVID with her family, 7 brothers and sisters. She's like 7 years old. She's in a Bible study with a group of teenagers. She's in this Bible study every week, and they get to talking about something that they don't have the right answer to. And so the leader, which is her older sister, she says, you know what? Instead of continuing to talk about this, you know, we probably need to talk to Pastor Peyton, ask Pastor Peyton about this. And Quinn raises her hand and she says, they said, yeah, Quinn. She says, I don't think we should ask Pastor Peyton. And Ellie said, why shouldn't we ask Pastor Peyton? Because I heard him say he sins all the time. You better be careful what you say. People are listening. People are watching. I heard Pastor Peyton say he sins all the time. I don't remember saying that, but evidently I did at some point. Let's read 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 2 through 4. We're about to bring it home. Peter writes this. He says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these we may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Whew. There's 2 bombs in there. I'm about to drop them. 2 bombs. Peter says we have everything we need. That's what the NIV says. Peter says we have everything we need by his divine power that lives in us. We have everything we need for life and godliness. That word for life is Zoe. It is the life that Jesus promised to us and that he purchased for us with his own blood. It is the abundant life of the Spirit. And it's not just about victory over sin. It's about becoming more and more and more like Jesus. Because in verse 4, he tells us that we participate, bomb number 2, we participate in the divine nature, meaning the nature or the character of Jesus. Me? Yes. If you're a believer, it's the fruit of the Spirit. How many of you know that we need dynamite power, because transforming our nature, giving us new desires, only the Holy Spirit can do that. By his grace and power, we are transformed on the inside. And this is the fruit that flows in our lives more and more. And it should flow through us to the world around us. Good fruit. To love and forgive like Jesus. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Peace that surpasses understanding. Patience and kindness. Goodness and faithfulness. Gentleness and self-control. Like Jesus. And not just good fruit, but also good works. Demonstrating love by doing good to others, being generous, sharing with those in need, serving one another, praying for them and with them, doing what Jesus did. James said you must walk as Jesus walked. Wow. You can't do that. I can't do that without the Holy Spirit. We don't always think about that as being the power. But that power that it takes for you to love your enemies, only the Holy Spirit can. Oh, you can fake it for a while until they cross that one line you got. It takes the Holy Spirit. In other words, Peter says we have everything we need to live that life. Peter says we have no excuses. Because we have the promise of dynamite power, and we have the promise that we participate in his divine nature. I want that. This is true life. This is what makes us different from the world. This is our calling. To be witnesses for Jesus, to proclaim and demonstrate who Jesus is, by who we are, by how we speak, how we act, by what we do and don't do in this world. Am I preaching to anybody this morning? I'm preaching to myself. Now to close, I want to go back to the story from John 7. Almost every day for past several months, I go walking / running. I can't run that far, so I walk and then I run, but 3 to 5 miles almost every day. And I go to this bamboo forest. And it's really beautiful. It's one of my happy places. And I want you to imagine with me this morning two images that I see there every time I run. The first image is a place where water collects after the rain. And nothing flows into it, and the water does not flow out of it. It's just there. And it's dirty. And it smells bad. And there's no real life in it. And the life that is in it is gross. You know what I'm talking about. Nobody wants to jump in it. And nobody wants to drink from it. Can you see it? But I also pass by a beautiful river where the water from above flows down and feeds the water below. And as it flows, it cleanses and refreshes and restores, and it's full of living water. And when it fills up, it overflows and feeds and refreshes all the waters downstream from it. Can you hear what the Spirit is saying to his church this morning? Let me ask you, who are you? Sadly, some Christians have received the grace of God and the power of his Spirit, but it's not flowing in their lives. They're not being continually filled. They are not walking in the power of the Spirit, and there's no real life there. And they have nothing, no life to give to others. But we do not want to be those people. Jesus said, out of your heart will flow rivers of living water. We want to be like that beautiful river, full of life from above. Full of life from above, full of grace and power, being filled and overflowing, being filled and overflowing, being filled and overflowing, receiving life and giving life to others. And all the good fruit and all the good works from the Holy Spirit in us. Amen. And flowing from us. That is the desire of the Lord. Not just to save you and punch your ticket to heaven, but to reveal himself in your home, and in your place of work, and on the golf course, and with the parents at the game. To be a river of life everywhere you go. And it's beautiful. And it's not ordinary. It is radically different from the life most people live. It is extraordinary. And that's why we cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. It is impossible. But what was impossible without Him is possible with Him. Jesus said, if you believe in me from your heart by my Spirit, not maybe, but will flow rivers of living water. And when we live like a river of life, people will know. Like the word says about Peter and John in Acts 4, they were uneducated, ordinary men. Okay, you know. But the people knew that they had been with Jesus because they could see Jesus in them. And when you live like this, people will know you have been with Jesus. And it matters. This is who we want to be. It matters because this is the church that God will use to reach the lost and to influence the world around us in these last days. Can somebody say amen this morning? Let's stand together. I want to invite the ministry team up. I just want to have a chance to pray over everyone, but also if you need specific prayer, we want to invite you to come up for prayer. Maybe you feel like you've kind of been lately that collecting water but not really flowing. I just want to pray for you this morning. If you have a need, we have people here who can pray with you for that. But I just want to pray this word over you. Maybe you're confused about what that looks like in your life today, and you need the Lord to just show you in your sphere of influence, what does it look like for you to be a river of life for them? And don't misunderstand me. God is the source of the river. It's not us. I hope we're clear on that. When I say a river of life, He's the river of life. He just flows through us. Amen? And so I just want to, if you feel like this word is just specifically spoken to you, just raise one hand. I just want to pray over you this morning. And then you can continue to be prayed for as we close up here, but I want to pray for you specifically this morning. Father God, in the name of your Son Jesus, who made these exceedingly great and precious promises to us, first of all, that if we believe in Him, we would be saved. And Father, I ask you to move in hearts this morning. If there's anyone in this house that does not know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, I pray that you would draw them to yourself this morning as we have exalted Jesus, the Savior, the Lord of all things, the Savior of the world. Draw them to yourself this morning. I pray that they would come and they would receive you this morning. Put their faith in you. Repent of their sins and trust in you this morning. Your word promises that we shall be saved. And for those that know you, Lord, but they've been collecting, but they haven't been flowing. God, I pray in the name of Jesus, by your Spirit, that you would begin, they would begin to just seek you deeper, and that they would receive life from you. And that as you fill them, they would overflow and give life to others. For those who are seeking guidance as to what that looks like, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, you would begin to show them in your word and by your Spirit, show them how they can be that river of life that you want to flow through them to minister to the people that you place in front of them. That there's no happenstance. that you have a purpose for those encounters, and you desire to reveal yourself to people through them, that their life would exalt you, Jesus, and you would draw men and women to yourself. God, thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit. We have no desire to move forward without you, without you truly moving and flowing in our lives. So, Father, I ask in the name of Jesus that you make this word alive in each one of us. And it's in Jesus' name, the precious name of Jesus, that we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Have an awesome week. There are still people here if you need prayer this afternoon. They're here to pray for you.
We hope you are blessed by this message. We encourage you to tune in wherever you get your podcasts, and we invite you to come as you are. Join our family at Global River Church, Sundays at 10 a.m. and Wednesdays at 6:30 p.m. Grace be with you in Jesus' name.